Welcome to day 236 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. Today we will be completing the book of Jeremiah. We will be reading chapters 51 and 52 from the Amplified Bible. In these chapters, we will hear essentially the story of the captivity of Judah, how the Babylonians invaded, took captives, and actually it was done in four installments. They didn't take all the people captive at once, as you have heard through our readings, and today we'll get somewhat of a summary of that as we go through the very last chapter. And then we will make some commentary on that when we complete these two final chapters of the book of Jeremiah. So starting at Jeremiah chapter 51, beginning at the first verse. Thus says the Lord, Behold, I will raise up against Babylon and against those who dwell among those rebelling against me, a destroying wind and spirit. And I will send to Babylon strangers or winnowers who will winnow her and will empty her land. For in the day of calamity, they will be against her on every side. Against him who bends, let the archer bend his bow, and against him who lifts himself up in his coat of mail, and spare not her young men. Devote to God and utterly destroy her entire host. Thus they shall fall down slain in the land of the Chaldeans, and wounded in her streets. For Israel has not been widowed and forsaken, nor has Judah by his God, the Lord of hosts. Though their land is full of guilt against the Holy One of Israel, flee out of the midst of Babylon, let every man save his life. Let not destruction come upon you through her punishment for sin and guilt. For it is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render to her a recompense. Babylon was a golden cup in the Lord's hand, making all the earth drunken. The nations drank of her wine, therefore the nations have gone mad. Babylon has suddenly fallen and is shattered, destroyed. Wail for her if you care to. Get balm for her incurable pain. If you do so, she may possibly be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her and let us each go to his own country. For her guilt and the judgment against her reach to heaven and are lifted even to the skies. The Lord has brought forth and made known the righteousness of our cause. Come and let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Make clean and sharp the arrows. Take up the shields or coats of armor and cover your bodies with them. The Lord has stirred up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, who with the Persians will destroy the Babylonian Empire. For his purpose concerning Babylon is to destroy it. For that is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance upon Babylon for the plundering and destruction of his temple. Set up a standard or signal to spread the news upon the walls of Babylon. Make the watch and blockade strong. Set the guards, prepare the ambushes. For the Lord has both purposed and done that which he spoke against the inhabitants of Babylon. O Babylon, you who dwell by many waters, rich in treasures, your end has come, and the line measuring your life is cut. The Lord of hosts has sworn by himself, saying, Surely I will fill you with men, as with a swarm of locusts, who strip a land clean, and they will lift up a song and shout of victory over you. He made the earth by his power. He established the world by his wisdom, and stretched out the heavens by his understanding. When he utters his voice, there is a tumult of waters in the heavens, and he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightnings for the rain and brings forth the wind from his treasuries. Every man has become stupid and brute-like, without knowledge of God. Every goldsmith is put to shame by the images he has made, for his molten idols are a lie, and there is no breath of life in them. They are worthless, emptiness, falsity, futility, a work of delusion and worthy of derision. In the time of their inspection and punishment, they shall helplessly perish. Not like these gods is he who is the portion of Jacob, the true God, on whom Israel has a claim. For he is the one who formed all things, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. You, Cyrus of Persia, soon to conquer Babylon, are my battle axe, or maul and weapon of war. For with you I break nations in pieces, with you I destroy kingdoms, with you I break in pieces the horse and his rider, with you I break in pieces the chariot and the charioteer, with you I break in pieces man and woman, with you I break in pieces old man and youth, with you I break in pieces young man and maiden. With you I break in pieces the shepherd and his flock. With you I break in pieces the farmer and his yoke of oxen. And with you I break in pieces governors and commanders. And I will completely repay Babylon and all the inhabitants of Chaldea for all the evil that they have done in Zion. Before your very eyes I will do it, says the Lord. Behold, I am against you, says the Lord, O destroying mountain, which is burning out, you who will be as barren and desolate as an extinct volcano, you who would destroy the whole earth. I will stretch out my hand over and against you, and roll you down from the burnt crags, and will make you a burnt-out mountain of combustive fires. And O Babylon, they shall not take your cracked stones for a cornerstone or any stone for foundations, but you shall be waste and desolate forever, says the Lord. Set up a standard or signal in the land to spread the news. Blow the trumpet among the nations. Prepare and dedicate the nations for war against her. Call against her the kingdoms of Ararat, Mini, and Ashkenaz. Appoint a marshal against her. Cause the horses to come up like a swarm of locusts when their wings are not yet released from their horny cases. Prepare and dedicate the nations for war against her. The kings of Media with their governors and commanders, deputies in every land of their dominion. I foresee this. The land trembles and writhes in pain and sorrow. For the purposes of the Lord against Babylon stand, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without inhabitant. The mighty warriors of Babylon have ceased to fight. They have remained in their holds. Their might has failed. They have become weak and helpless like women. Her dwelling places are burned up. Her bars and defenses generally are broken. One post shall run to meet another, and one messenger to meet another, to show the king of Babylon that his city is taken on every side and to its farthest end, and that the passages or ferries across the Euphrates are stopped, and the great marshes they, the Medes, have burned with fire, and the men of war are frightened. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor at the time it is being prepared. Yet a little while, and the time of harvest shall come to her. The inhabitants of Zion say, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has devoured us. He has crushed us. He has made us an empty vessel. Like a monster, he has swallowed us up. He has filled his belly with our delicacies. He has rinsed us out and cast us away. May the violence done to me and to my flesh and blood be upon Babylon. Will the inhabitant of Zion say, and may my blood be upon the inhabitants of Chaldea, will Jerusalem say. Therefore thus says the Lord, behold, I will plead your cause and take vengeance for you. I will dry up her lake or great reservoir and make her fountain dry. And Babylon shall become heaps of ruins, a dwelling place of jackals, a horror, an astonishing desolation, and a hissing of amazement without inhabitant. They, the Chaldean lords, shall be roaring together before their sudden capture, like young lions over their prey. They, the princes, shall be growling like lions' whelps. When the revelers are inflamed with wine and lust during their drinking bouts, I will prepare them a feast of my wrath and make them drunk, that they may rejoice and fall asleep to a perpetual sleep and not waken, says the Lord. I will bring them down like lambs to the slaughter, like rams together with he-goats. How Shishak, Babylon, is taken, and the praise of the whole earth is surprised and seized. How Babylon has become an astonishing desolation and a horror among nations. The sea has come up upon Babylon. She is covered with the tumult and multitude of its waves. Her cities have become a desolation and a horror, a land of drought and a wilderness, a land in which no one lives, nor does any son of man pass through it. And I will punish and execute judgment upon Bel, the god in Babylon, and take out of his mouth what he has swallowed up, the sacred vessels and the people of Judah and elsewhere who were taken captive. The nations will not flow any more to him. Yes, the wall of Babylon has fallen. My people, come out of the midst of her, and let every man save his life from the fierce anger of the Lord. And beware, lest your heart faint and you be afraid at the report, rumor heard in the land. For in 1 year shall one report come, and in another year another report. And violence shall be in the land, ruler against ruler. Therefore, behold, the days will come when I will execute judgment and punishment upon the idols of Babylon. Her whole land will be confounded and put to shame, and all her slain will fall in the midst of her. Then heaven and earth and all that is in them shall sing for joy over Babylon, for the Median destroyers shall come against her from the north, says the Lord. As Babylon has caused the slain of Israel to fall, so at Babylon shall fall the slain of all her land. You who have escaped the sword, go away. Stand not still. Seriously and earnestly remember the Lord from afar, Babylon, and let desolate Jerusalem come into your mind. We are confounded and ashamed, for we have heard reproach. Confusion and shame have covered our faces. For strangers have come into the most sacred parts of the sanctuary of the Lord, even those forbidden for entrance by all but the high priest or the appointed priest. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will execute judgment upon Babylon's idols and images, and throughout all her land the wounded will groan. Though Babylon should mount up to heaven, and though she should fortify her strong height, her lofty stronghold, yet destroyers will come upon her from me, says the Lord. The sound of a cry comes from Babylon, and the sound of great destruction and ruin from the land of the Chaldeans. For the Lord is destroying Babylon and laying her waste and stilling her great voice, the hum of the city's life. And the waves of her conquerors roar like great waters. The noise of their voices is raised up like the tramping of an army. For the destroyer is coming upon her, upon Babylon, and her mighty warriors are taken. Their bows are broken in pieces, for the Lord is a God of recompense. He will surely requite. And I will make drunk her princes and her wise men, her governors and her commanders, deputies, and her mighty warriors, and they will sleep a perpetual sleep and not waken, says the King. The Lord of hosts is his name. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the broad walls of Babylon shall be utterly overthrown, and the foundations made bare, and her high gates shall be burned with fire. The people shall labor in vain, and the nations only to satisfy the fire, and they shall be weary. The word that Jeremiah the prophet commanded Sariah, son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, when he went with Zedekiah, king of Judah, to Babylon, in the fourth year of his reign. Now this Sariah was chief chamberlain, or quartermaster, and brother of Baruch. So Jeremiah wrote in a book all the evil that would come upon Babylon, even all these words that are written against Babylon. And Jeremiah said to Sariah, "When you come to Babylon, see to it that you read all these words. Then say, 'O Lord, you have spoken concerning this place, that it shall be cut off, so that nothing shall remain and dwell in it, neither man nor beast, but it shall be desolate forever. And it shall be that when you have finished reading this book, you shall bind a stone to it and cast it into the midst of the Euphrates. Then say, thus will Babylon sink and not rise because of the evil that I will bring upon her. And the Babylonians will be weary, hopelessly exhausted.'" Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. Chapter 52. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, daughter of Jeremiah, not the prophet, of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For all this came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah because of the anger of the Lord. And in the end, he cast them out from his presence. And Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. And in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, on the tenth day of the month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and all his army, against Jerusalem. And they pitched against it and built movable towers and siege mounds against it round about. So the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. And in the fourth month, on the ninth day of the month, the famine was so severe in the city that there was no bread for the people of the land. Then the city wall was broken through, so that all the men of war might flee, and they went forth out of the city by night, as Ezekiel had foretold, by way of the gate between the two walls by the king's garden, though the Chaldeans were round about the city. And they, the Jewish soldiers, fled by the way of the Arabah, the Jordan Valley. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho, and all his army was scattered from him. Then they seized the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon at Riblah in the Syrian land of Hamath on the northern border of Israel, where he pronounced sentence upon him. And the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. He slew also all the princes of Judah at Riblah. Then he put out the eyes of Zedekiah, and the king of Babylon bound him with shackles and carried him to Babylon and put him in prison mill till the day of his death. Now in the fifth month, on the tenth day of the month, which was the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, there came to Jerusalem Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, who stood and served before the king of Babylon. And he burned the house of the Lord and the king's house and all the houses of Jerusalem. Every great house he consumed with fire. And all the army of the Chaldeans who were with the captain of the guard broke down all the walls round about Jerusalem. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive some of the poorest of the people and those who were left in the city at the time it was captured, along with those who went out to the king of Babylon during the siege, and the remnant of the multitude, the country's working people. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left some of the poorest of the land to be vine dressers and tillers of the soil. Also, the pillars of bronze that belong to the house of the Lord, and the bronze bases or pedestals which supported the 10 basins, and the bronze sea or huge laver that were in the house of the Lord, the Chaldeans broke into pieces and carried all the bronze of them to Babylon. The pots for carrying away ashes also, and the shovels and the snuffers and the bowls and the spoons, and all the vessels of bronze used in the temple service, they took away. Also, the small bowls and the fire pans and the basins and the pots and the lampstands and the incense cups and the bowls for the drink offerings, whatever was of gold, the captain of the guard took away as gold, and whatever was of silver as silver. The two pillars, one sea or huge laver, and the 12 bronze bulls or oxen under the sea, which King Solomon had made in the house of the Lord, the bronze of all these things was beyond weighing. Concerning the pillars, the height of the one pillar was 18 cubits, 27 feet, and an ornamental molding of 12 cubits, 18 feet, went around its circumference. It was 4 fingers thick, and it, the pillar, was hollow. An upper part, or capital, of bronze was on top of it. The height of one capital was 5 cubits, 7.5 feet, with a network and pomegranates all around it, all of bronze. The second pillar also, with its pomegranates, was similar to these. And there were 96 pomegranates on the sides, and all the pomegranates upon the network were 100 round about. And the captain of the guard took, as prisoners, Sariah, the chief priest, and Zephaniah, the second priest, and the 3 keepers of the door. He took also out of the city a court officer who had been overseer of the soldiers, and 7 men of them who were next to the king as advisers, and saw his face, who were found in the city, and the scribe of the prince, or captain of the army, who mustered the people of the land, and 60 men of the people of the land who were found in the midst of the city. And Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, took them and brought them to the king of Babylon at Riblah. And the king of Babylon smote them and put them to death at Riblah in the land of Hamath. Thus Judah was carried away captive out of his own land. This is the number of people whom Nebuchadnezzar carried away captive in the 7th year, 3,023 Jews. In the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar, he carried away captive from Jerusalem 832 persons. In the 23rd year of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the Babylonian guard, carried away captive of the Jews 745 persons. All the persons were 4,600. And in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, also called Coniah and Jeconiah, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 25th day of the month, Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the 1st year of his reign, lifted up the head of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, and showed favor to him and brought him out of prison. He spoke kindly to him and gave him a seat above the seats of the kings who were captives with him in Babylon. Jehoiachin put off his prison garments, and he dined regularly at the king's table all the days of his life. And his allowance, a continual one, was given him by the king of Babylon, a portion according to his requirements, until the day of his death, all the days of his life. This is the end of the book of Jeremiah and the end of today's scripture reading. As we listen to the reading of this entire book of Jeremiah, you may recall that in the beginning I mentioned that the book of Jeremiah was filled with a number of object lessons that the prophet Jeremiah would recount, either ones that God himself showed him, like in the very beginning when he said, "Look, here's the almond branch. What do you see?" And then Jeremiah would respond to the Lord, "It's an almond branch." And the Lord would explain the meaning of this picture or object lesson that God was showing to him. Well, in the 51st chapter, this second to last chapter of the book, we find the final object lesson that the Lord uses to speak a message. But it's a most interesting one because throughout the earlier chapters of Jeremiah, God has been speaking primarily to the people of Judah, warning them that if they didn't change their ways and repent, that they were absolutely headed for disaster, destruction of Jerusalem, and going to be taken into captivity because of the fact that they turned their backs on God. Here in this final or second to last chapter, chapter 51, we find the last object lesson, and it is one that's not directed at the people of Israel. Instead, it's one that is a message given by God to the Babylonian Empire. And it's where Jeremiah the prophet sends a scroll or a book that he wrote the words of warning and prophetic destruction over the Babylonian kingdom. He wrote it all down, and it says in the 51st chapter that he sent that book with a man named Seraiah, the son of Neriah, who was taken captive to Babylon with Zedekiah, king of Judah. And so when that happened, when Babylonian king came and took some of the people captive and left others in the land, Jeremiah was left behind, but this man named Seraiah was taken along with Zedekiah, the king of Judah. So Jeremiah wrote in the book all the evil that was going to come upon Babylon and gave it to Seraiah. And he said, when you get to Babylon, you are to read the words of this book publicly so that the Babylonians hear it. So they hear the prophetic proclamation or declaration that Babylon is going to be destroyed, cut off, and come to an end because God is going to judge them for the cruelty that they've done to all the nations around, but especially because they did evil against Jerusalem and plundered the temple of God. And because of that, God was going to bring this judgment of destruction of the kingdom of Babylon. So Seraiah was instructed, when you get there, read this publicly, and then here's the object lesson. It says in verse 63 and 64 in Jeremiah 51, Jeremiah's words to Seraiah, and it shall be that when you have finished reading this book, you shall bind a stone to it and cast it into the midst of the Euphrates River. Then say, thus will Babylon sink and not rise, because of the evil that I will bring upon her. So that is the last object lesson that is presented in the book of Jeremiah, but it's not geared toward the Israelites. It's absolutely a word to the Babylonians. This picture of Babylon will sink and not rise. So they took the words of the book, put a stone around it, and cast it into the Euphrates River, which was the main source of their water and their irrigation for their crops, and it was very important to the Babylonian Empire. And the Lord used that as a literal message and visual picture of the coming destruction of Babylon. Then we move on to the very final chapter, chapter 52 of the book of Jeremiah, and here we find a recounting of essentially how the people of Judah were finally taken captive by the Babylonians. And the fascinating thing to me is that it was actually done in what was essentially four installments over a period of 20 years. It wasn't done all at once. It started out by the very first invasion by King Nebuchadnezzar into Judah, into Jerusalem, and at that very first invasion or conquering, King Nebuchadnezzar took treasures from the temple. He didn't take everything, but he took the main treasures from the temple of God in the king's house. He also took with him some very high-level captives. You could say some princes of the kingdom. And among those princes were Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would later become extraordinarily influential in Babylon itself. But they actually were taken captive in the very first invasion of Judah. That was approximately 606 years BC before the birth of Christ. Then, a few years later, in 597 BC, Nebuchadnezzar came again and he invaded the city. He took more treasures from the palace and from the temple of the Lord. And he also at that time took Jehoiachin, the king who was the king at that time. He also carried off with him 10,000 people with him. So this time the land was being really devastated, and definitely the capital city was devastated by that number of captives. But that wasn't the end of his invasions. Once again, the Babylonians came in 586 BC. And this was the saddest probably of all, because this was when they burned Jerusalem. They broke down all its walls. They took King Zedekiah, and you just heard it in this reading. And it was a sad one because he was carried in chains to Babylon. But before he was taken, because he had rebelled against the king of Babylon, they did a little mock trial. He was found guilty and they put to death in front of his eyes his own sons, who were very young at that time, because he had taken the throne at the age of 21 and he hadn't been the king that long at the time when he rebelled, and then the king of Babylon came and punished him for his rebellion. He murdered his sons in front of his eyes, and then it says he put out Zedekiah's eyes, meaning he blinded him, and carried him off in chains. So what a horrible end. And then he spent the rest of his life imprisoned in Babylon. That was the third invasion. But the city being burned, the walls being broken down, were just bringing the city of Jerusalem and the kingdom of Judah to an absolute devastation. At that time, the scripture tells us 832 captives were taken, leaving only a small remnant in Jerusalem of the poorest class in the land. Then 5 years after Jerusalem was burned, the Babylonians came one more time. This time they came in and took more captives in approximately 581 BC. And the scriptures record in the 52nd chapter that 745 more people were taken back to Babylon. I think one of the greatest messages of the book of Jeremiah is that sin and being rebellious against God will always result in captivity. This truly is the message. God warns people, as he warned the people of Judah at the time of Jeremiah the prophet and Ezekiel the prophet, who was his contemporary, and Daniel, who all lived at the same time, and we will hear their stories coming up soon. But this time frame, God was speaking, warning to the people, don't turn your back on God. Don't give yourself over to false idols and false lies that you believe in and try to pleasure yourself with sin. Don't do that. It will only result in you going into captivity, into bondage. The people of Judah literally went into bondage. They were taken in chains to Babylon. But you know, people today in our society, when they give themselves over to sin, they give themselves over to the pursuit of things that are just false and futile and worthless, whether it's the pursuit of materialism or the pursuit of drugs or alcohol or sexual perversion or any sin whatsoever, the end result of that type of pursuit is always bondage. The person ends up in chains to the very sin. The scriptures in the New Testament tell us clearly this very truth. In John 8:34, Jesus said these words, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin." Then in Romans 6:16, it says, Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? And the idea is that sin will always take you into bondage. If you serve sin, you serve the pursuit of these sinful things, whatever they are, they will always result in you becoming a slave in chains, in bondage to that very thing. If you serve that, you end up in bondage. This is exactly what we see happening in the book of Jeremiah. God warned the people, don't do this, you're going to end up in bondage. Don't pursue that, you're going to end up in bondage. Don't serve those idols, you're going to end up in bondage. Don't pursue these sinful things, you're going to end up as slaves. And that's truly the message of the book of Jeremiah, but it applies to us today. God is continually warning his people, and he's calling to them to come to him that they might be free, set free, and live free. That's the message of the gospel, of the good news, that in Christ we are given freedom and we are set free from the law of sin and death in Christ Jesus. God doesn't want us to be slaves to sin. He wants us to be free in Christ Jesus. The people in the time of Jeremiah literally marched right into bondage. They became slaves to the Babylonians because they would not stop worshiping these false idols and pursuing the sin that was all affiliated with the things they worshiped. Today, people worship sexual sin. They worship drugs and alcohol. They worship the pursuit of money. And they don't think it's worship, but it's worship. When you give yourself completely to something with all of your heart and your soul and your mind and your body and you run after that thing, it's like worshiping a false god. And the only end of that is going into bondage where you can't free yourself. God wants to be your liberator, the one who sets you free from captivity, as he was for the people of Judah. It was by his grace that they were set free after 70 years. It wasn't because they did anything right. Truly, it's the same in our lives. God offers freedom to every single person, not because they did anything right, but because of the love and the mercy and the grace of God and the power of God to deliver a person from bondage. God can set you free from any addiction, any sinful pattern, by you giving yourself fully to him. It's by his grace, not because you cleaned up your act. And that's oftentimes the lie that the enemy tells people, telling them they can't become a Christian because they have no power to clean up their own act. Well, God isn't asking you to clean up your own act. You can't do it. He knows that. He offers you freedom in Christ. He reaches out his hand and says, I will set you free if you'll give me your hand, which is your will surrendered to him, your desire to be God's child. And then he's available to take you out of bondage and bring you into the kingdom of his dear son, the son of his love, as the scripture refers to Jesus. God is speaking to us today. He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of freedom. Just as he set free the captives of Judah from the bondage of slavery in Babylon, he's willing to do that today for any person who will call to him. Are you struggling in your life in some area? Then ask the Lord, who is the God of power and deliverance, able to deliver and set free. That's the God that you serve. He will be happy to intervene and assist you in that area. God is so good and so full of mercy and grace. You don't have to turn away in shame. Jesus came to set you free from the shame. He came to set you free from whatever it is that you're tied to that's bondage. Just like he set the captives of Judah free after that 70-year period, he can set you free today. Just ask him. He's waiting to hear from you. God bless you and give you a victorious week.